So the second phase of this is you want to begin to confide in her what you've been doing. You want to say to her, you know, you were feeling so bad, you broke my heart. I could hardly stand to be with you because you felt so bad. And I love you so much, and it was so painful for me to see you feeling so bad. So I played a little trick on myself. I ignored you in your pain, and I remembered who you really are. And then show her the list you made. I remembered when you were 5 and you did this, and I remember how you felt as a young child, and I remember the light in your eyes, and I remember the beauty of your being, and I remembered this that you did, and this, and this, and this, and oh, it'll just flow out of you. You have lists and lists and lists. And then say, and you know what happened? Something clicked inside of me. I remembered who you really are. And then I stopped feeling bad about this temporary diversion because I knew it was so temporary. Somehow I was sort of consumed with this knowing of how fabulous you are. And in all of that, I stopped worrying about you. And so you have my undivided attention about your fabulous qualities, but I will never wallow with you in self-pity, ever, ever, ever. But you know what? Don't care if you do it. Sometimes you gotta do it. In fact, everybody does it. In other words, you're not trying to piously, and if there's not any of that in you, but you don't want to give her the impression that you've seen the light and now you're trying to take her to it. In other words, she won't want to go. You just want to make her understand that you felt great pain because you love her so much, but you can't love somebody and feel great pain at the same time, so you opted for loving her. And it turned out to be a lot easier than anyone would think because she is so very, very, at the core, in the middle, and on the surface, lovable. And there isn't anything that will be more valuable for anyone to hear than, you are lovable, you rotten, rotten person. You feel terrible and you're a prickly pear to be with, and I've been running from you because you're miserable to be with, but I love you much more than all of that. And as she understands what you did, and she will be witnessing it too, you have to understand, as you have this trek up the emotional scale, as you come back into alignment, as you've been holding her as your object of attention, it's going to be a visceral, visible experience for her as well. You might not even have to tell her what you've done without her asking. She may very well start saying, something shifted in our relationship. I don't know what it is. Do you know what's going on? And you'll say, I know exactly what's going on. I remembered who we both are. Mm.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Hello again, Abraham. I really get excited when you talk about how we're on the cutting edge of everything. And I wondered, since you have this infinite intelligence that we all have access to, can you give us any insight as to what great things we're right on the verge of discovering?
No.
Great.
The best way of beginning this is by acknowledging that in this time of awakening, in this leading edge time-space position, furthest most leading edge of thought, as a mass consciousness, you are not only on the brink of, but you are experiencing it, but it's picking up more and more and more, experiencing more of whatever it is that you are giving your attention to. So the sick are sicker, the well are weller, the rich are richer, the poor are poorer, the confused are more confused, the clear are more clear. In other words, it's like a giant magnifying glass has been laid over everything. Now, many would say, oh, that's worrisome because that means more things we don't want. And we say, true enough, but out of more things you don't want comes your awareness of more things you do want. And so what you are really going to see, you're already seeing it. It is deeply troubling to the talking heads on television, especially Lou Dobbs.